For that brief recess, we'd like to reconvene the board meeting. Okay, at this time, we're going to, as we reconvene, we will also give open it up again for public comment. And I know that there's a few people that we had called on earlier that were not here that are here now. I'd like to start with Helen Randolph, if you'd like to take the podium, please.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is, I only have 5 minutes, so I hope my words don't get too gibberish where you don't understand.
You may want to speak directly into the microphone.
Yep. Thank you. Here.
My name is Dr. Helen Randolph. I am the president of 3R Healthcare Pharmaceutical. We are the only female-owned pharmaceutical wholesale distributor that is certified with the State of Illinois Business Program, Enterprise Program. Before I continue, I would like to thank the board for allowing me the opportunity to express my concerns as a certified BEP regarding the unfair practices I have experienced trying to do business with U of I. I stand here today for two reasons. Number one, 3R has not only the qualification, but the experience when it comes to doing business with this state as a certified BEP. However, when 3R attempted to do business with U of I, we were denied the opportunity. And when we talk about experience, I can say back in 2006, 3R established a 10-year working relationship with as a subcontractor with one of the largest PBM vendor, Medco, on a State of Illinois healthcare prescription benefit contract. Medco was awarded the contract to provide prescription drugs to more than 230,000 state employees and retirees. Reason two, I'm here today because I believe U of I has a responsibility to seek ways to make sure BEP businesses are treated fairly and prime vendors adhere to the state requirements. I say this because in 2006, U of I was awarded as the prime vendor to provide, prime vendor on a state contract to provide pharmaceutical products with at least a 10% BEP goal. For nearly 2 years, 3R has expressed its concerns to Michael Zinn, Chancellor Emeritus Ben Bagby, and Charlotte Roberts regarding the lack of participation of a certified BEP pharmaceutical distributor. Throughout this process, 3R received assistance only from Charlotte Roberts in regards to see if they can get both parties to reach some type of agreement. However, this was not the case when it came to 3R contacting Michael Zinn, Chancellor Emeritus, or Ben Bagby. There was no intervention by neither one of them. They failed to inform the vendor, McKesson, that through their action under the BE plan, 30ILCS575, number one, they violated the state BEP plan by utilizing, they being McKesson, a non-certified BEP business called CTL Global Solution to participate on the contract. This is a white female company which was given a pass over an African-American certified BEP business, being 3R. Now, according to the BEP utilization plan, indicates on page one, it states, at the time of the bid or offer, vendor or vendor's proposed subcontractor must be certified with CMS as a BEP certified vendor. Number two, McKesson violated the contract under the state's BEP plan by implementing their own rules on the contract. McKesson stated their intent is to subcontract with a BEP who is not certified directly in the scope of the contract, which is pharmaceutical distribution. They stated this is their area of expertise. They are seeking to do business with a BEP that can bring some form of uniqueness to this contract. Now, according to the BEP plan under section 7.3, it reads, vendor may not change or make changes to its contractual BEP certified vendor. Also, number three, McKesson has failed to meet the entire goal, and also McKesson has failed to reasonably negotiate to make good faith effort to utilize a certified BEP, and they basically have breached the contract. In summary, Board of Trustees, we all can agree this is a contract that you didn't expect a BEP pharmaceutical distributor to pursue, because McKesson has been the sole source of this contract for well over 20 years with no BEP participation. Therefore, my questions to you guys and ladies, how do you adhere to the law regarding the BEP plan ensuring the ownership of a business is not getting a pass based on his or her ethnicity? How do you prevent the prime vendor from changing the scope of the contract by implementing their own goals or policy? How does U of I break this cycle of unfairness and address the lack of professionalism pertaining to this contract? And lastly, how do you protect BEP business being denied an opportunity to do business with U of I when especially they happen to be in the same profession of business as the prime vendor? Therefore, I respectfully request that you look into this matter, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I'd like to call on Wally O'Day to come to the podium for comments.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to really show my appreciation for giving me this opportunity for the first time to appear before you. I'm not going to bore you with what I put on the paper. I know you can look at it later. But while I'm here, and I've been in so many meetings like this with BEP Council, I attended the Governor Runner's task force to look at why minority are not participating in a lot of procurement by the state or by the universities. Again, my name is Wole Adeoye with Victory Pharmacy of Decatur. I'm a registered pharmacist. We do right now have Victory Medical Equipment. I used to own two retail pharmacies in Decatur, Illinois. Unfortunately, due to this type of problem and insurance reimbursement, we were forced out of that business in 2016. We used to have about 17 employees. Our annual payroll was at $450,000. But due to unethical practices, we were forced out of business. So I focus on medical supplies, and I thought I will have some control, at least having some profit margin, instead of losing money on prescriptions. I found out about BEP goal on Medline Medical Supply Company. I tried to work with Medline to the extent that Mr. Aaron Carter, one of the directors, introduced me to Medline representative to see if we can work together. That was 2017. We met, we scheduled a meeting in Champaign, discussed how we can work together. At the end, he said he would get back to me, but he didn't know how to make it work, which is really mind-boggling to me. If you have to show a good faith effort to execute the 20% that you're supposed to meet, now you have a BEP qualifier who can help you meet that goal, yet you say you don't know how to meet the goal. That doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I'm missing something. And bottom line, this is not unique to the university. We are struggling in the city to get minority participation in a lot of projects. The state is running into the same problem where they are not meeting the goal that was set. So my question is, You are the one spending the money. If you put a goal on any contract, who is monitoring that goal? Is there a penalty for not meeting the goals? And we have to understand there is a reason behind that kind of goal, because for minority, it's been very challenging, very difficult to participate where there are big boys who are in the market. So in the state is trying to close the gap a little bit, because it's not encouraging. When we look at the recent statistics or report by USA Today that listed Chicago as one of the worst cities for minority, and also the Cairo, where I used to live, was number 7 on that list. So what do we need to do to improve the economic condition of minority in the state? And I think you have the answer to it. If you really, really want to make sure these people are held accountable to deliver in what they promise, you give them the contract because they know they have to meet 20% goal. But if they can run it without meeting even 5% and get away with it, they will continue to do it. So my plea to you today is to do whatever you can do to help us. We are taxpayers in Illinois. We deserve the same opportunities that is offered to many. Just because they are big doesn't mean that they should control everything. We just need 20% is not too much. Even 10% is not too much. We need your help to hold these prime contractors or prime vendors accountable to make sure any BEP that is available to help them meet their goal, they make sure that they give us the opportunity. I'm hoping and counting on your the strength that you bring to the table, the money that you spend to hold this prime vendor accountable so that we can have the same opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Our final speaker, public speaker, is Brittany Houston Hudson. Brittany Hudson, if you could step to the podium, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Brittany Hudson, and this is Donnie Hudson. We are the parents of Satchel Hudson, a junior student gymnast now at U of I. Our son was previously a student gymnast at UIC from his freshman year in 2016 through the fall 2018 semester. As you may know, UIC Athletic Director Garrett Classy announced 5 days into the fall 2018 semester that this would be the final year for all gymnastics programs at UIC. While we were devastated by that sudden decision, we are not here to question that. However, the timing of that decision affected us, as well as all the student gymnasts at UIC and their parents. Mr. Classy told us that he would do everything he can to help the affected student gymnasts. However, his actions were not in line with this promise. Therefore, we are here requesting some assistance. We signed a lease for Satchel's off-campus housing when he attended UIC. The lease goes through May 2019. Satchel found a fellow UIC gymnast who was willing to move into his apartment in December. However, the UIC housing department told that gymnast he could not move out of his dorm for spring semester without paying a $4,000 fee. Since Satchel has been unable to find another tenant, we are stuck paying rent for an apartment in Chicago through May while also paying for his apartment at U of I. We are not the only parents in this situation. Two other male UIC gymnasts also left after fall semester. One of them had signed a 2-year lease and is still looking for someone to move into his apartment. Another UIC gymnast, who was Satchel's former roommate, also left UIC after fall semester. And currently, his parents are left paying rent here until May. I am asking the board to consider a solution to our situation, and possibly the other UIC gymnasts' families as well. One solution for us could be for the U of I collegiate system to give Satchel some sort of financial credit that we could apply to tuition. He has no scholarship at U of I and had none at UIC. Satchel has had the apartment here listed on the UIC Housing Facebook page. He has done everything possible to make the best of this situation, including getting himself admitted to U of I and getting on their gymnastics team. We ask for your help in assisting us with additional housing costs that was not anticipated and would not have occurred but for the cut of the UIC gymnastics program this year. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your comments. That concludes our public comment session.